Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Just a reminder that our comments page is open on our website. You can add your thoughts on the Obama transition. You can also take part in our Fab Cab Challenge, where you can nominate your dream Obama cabinet. Go to WNYC and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So did you see the front page of the New York Times today? There's a picture just below the fold of the Obama girls getting out of a black SUV. Apparently their dad's inside. They're on their way to school. But one of the striking things about the picture is that the girls are alighting on a city street. For the first time in decades, there's a president who lives in a city who was elected with the help of huge turnouts in urban areas. So what does this mean for urban residents? Should city dwellers, and pardon the mixed metaphor, expect to leave the federal aid wilderness and come back to a new era of city-centric federal policy? Joining us to discuss the Obama administration and its urban policy plans is Barnard Professor Esther Fuchs. She's a professor of international and public affairs and political science at the School of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University, and also a former, and I don't know if you can ever actually be a former, but a former advisor to Mayor Bloomberg. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Andrea.
So, Esther, last time you and I were speaking about this a few months ago, and you were talking about how it had been a very long time since any president had been elected with the help of cities, and therefore nobody for a long time has really cared about cities. Has that changed now?
It actually hasn't really changed in terms of the demographics, although in terms of the fundraising and the actual outreach of the Obama campaign, cities at least were not left out of the mix of the targeted locations. We have to remember he had a 50-state strategy, which meant he was really targeting everyone, which is, I think, exciting, actually, for this administration. But I think the realities that have set in the current economic crisis and the energy crisis actually provide Obama with a unique opportunity to really start getting the country to understand the importance of cities to the future of the United States' ability to be competitive in the global economy. That's, I think, the biggest problem now from a policy point of view is that historically, at least going back to 1980 when Ronald Reagan became president, cities were viewed as tangential and unimportant, and in fact, people pretty much expected them to disappear. So what was the point in putting money into places which were really just, you know, bastions of poverty and uselessness?
Couldn't you argue, though, that some of the states that Obama won, particularly some of the narrow margins like Indiana, North Carolina, even Ohio and Florida, that it was his huge margins in some of these urban areas that drove his vote over the top?
Yeah, I think that's right in some regards, but what happens, and you've seen that in New York state politics, and this is what I worry about, is executives, chief executives, take their base for granted. So, ironically, he has an urban base. You know, he has an African-American base. He has, a liberal base, and this is an
pointy-headed intellectuals.
Pointy-headed intellectuals. Yes, I didn't want to talk about that, but you know, we can dump that.
Present company accepted.
Yeah, although a lot of my friends were Edwards supporters, so I always feel very good about not having fallen into that hideous trap.
Oops.
But in any event, that gives him, unfortunately, sometimes an excuse to say, you know, I need to focus on these other parts of my coalition because I know those people have nowhere to go. And that's been the problem for the urban voters in the Democratic Party coalition for a long time, which is where are they going? And so when you have nowhere to go, you're often taken for granted. So I think part of this is sort of reconnecting city dwellers and the issues that confront cities with the rest of America. And I think he started to do that in the campaign, and you see partly the inability to really discuss poverty straight on in an urban way, as poverty is a location issue, is probably good for the political discourse, so that instead of cities being viewed as places where you sink in money, Americans can start to understand cities as places that produce jobs and produce tax dollars and are really the engine of the economy, not a drag on the economy. And even though that was primarily the case all along, nobody viewed it that way. And, you know, it was, from a public relations point of view, if you will, a huge problem. So I think he's such a great orator that I would hope that he uses this opportunity to first set the stage for the political conversation, so that when he goes to the legislature and they start crafting, you know, the bailout legislation and the focus on the economic crisis, that he can make the nation understand that focusing, for example, on infrastructure like mass transit, which is, you know, people are starting to get it, but now the price of gas has gone down, so how long will they still get it that they shouldn't be dependent on their cars? He needs to take a leadership position in refocusing this political conversation so that people understand density is a good thing for the future of America's economic competitiveness, that the green jobs that we can produce from becoming more energy efficient are done more efficiently in urban, will be produced more efficiently in urban areas, you know, that the focus on workforce development and job training, this, like, all needs to be part of the package, and I think it actually has to be sold to the American people first before he's going to really start articulating anything in, you know, in a way that actually mentions the word city in the policy.
My guest is, let me just jump in with the phone number here. My guest is Columbia University's Esther Fuchs. We're talking about urban policy. This is Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Phone number here, 212-433-9692, 212-433-9692. 3WNYC if you have a question for Esther Fuchs, or tell us what is on your urban policy wish list for President-elect Obama. What would you like to see the new president do in this area? So what do you hear, Esther? I mean, you know, urban policy in the Obama campaign, you know, took a kind of a back seat. It took a while for them to get up an issue paper on their on their website. There were no major speeches on urban policy, and yet one of the proposals that was in that policy paper when it finally came up was to have a cabinet-level position of a sort of a White House czar of urban affairs. Are you hearing that that's going to happen?
Yes. I mean, that's just what I was going to say. The good news is that he has committed to a White House Office of Urban Policy. They've actually given it a name, and that's what they're calling it now. I don't know who will be appointed to that position, but I think that's critically important to have that in the White House. I mean, my experience at City Hall made it very clear to me that, you know, there are a whole range of issues that you need to coordinate, and they exist in little silos in corners of city agencies. And, of course, you have that writ large at the national level. So, you know, food stamps policy is, you know, part of agriculture. You've got to deal with that as part of your urban policy, and it sits out there, you know, isolated in another, you know, in the agriculture bill in Congress. It's, you know, that's a sort of one of the mysteries that you only focus on when you're focusing on how to figure out how to, for example, maybe increase the availability of food stamps to the working class when in a downturn in the economy like we have now. So they're going to have those kinds of really important things to deal with in the short term, just in terms of the economic crisis. And this White House Office of Urban Policy could both help craft, you know, a policy for the 4 years and 8 years, a long-term policy, but also deal with the short-term crisis, because I think that's going to be the critical inroad over here. If the urban issues can dominate the discussion of the stimulus package and how we deal with the economic crisis. And if we end up being able to link both the energy crisis with the economic crisis and understand that this, the best way to deal with it is in the urban setting, that's, I think, the best prayer we have of having a more holistic urban policy. So,
and are you getting early indications of that? I mean, do you see urban policy as part of the economic stimulus package that President-elect Obama is promising?
I don't. I mean, I really don't see that yet. I see people pushing in that direction. But, you know, the Brookings Institution has, as you know, has done a lot of work in trying to push. But I think their perspective is, in the end, dilutes the message a little bit too much, you know, in this effort to create universalism and call it, metropolitan area policy. The risk there is that very little goes to the urban center. And I understand that from a political point of view, but you have to really be careful with that, and you have to make the case for the political unit city, because the federal system really hurts cities right now. I would hope he would do something bold around federalism and sort of rebalance the role of the federal government. You know, we've had this devolutionary process going on for the last 25 years in which the problems have essentially been devolved down to the cities for resolution, but the money isn't given, you know, to resolve the problems. So even No Child Left Behind, which had a huge urban component to it on education, it was completely underfunded. And whether you agree, you know, with the substance of the policy, it was an effort to deal with urban education. I mean, we have so much catch-up to do on even on things like on safety and security and crime prevention, you know, the programs of the Clinton administration to help urban areas staff their police departments was cut under Bush. Workforce Investment Act, which everybody agrees is critical, job training programs and career ladder programs, cut over the Bush years. I mean, we're a nation that has to retrain our workforce to deal with the 21st century economy, and we've got about $5 billion for the whole country in training programs.
Let's take some calls. The phone number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Columbia University's Esther Fuchs. We're talking about urban policy. Norman from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC. Norman, are you there? Hello, Norman?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, Norman.
According to the Boston Globe, Obama in Chicago promoted the privatization of the public housing program. The Globe said that in Boston and Chicago both got federal funds to improve their public housing. Boston put the money into improving public housing and now has a better public housing system, they said. They said Chicago cut back their public housing system and put the money into vouchers for private housing, which didn't work. And the Globe said that Obama's law firm was working for the private contractors who were taking this money to set up private housing projects, most of which failed. And one of his clients went to jail on a corruption charge.
Okay, hang on. Let's get to a question about that. Do you know from a policy standpoint, Esther Fuchs, if that's something that Obama had supported?
I understand that he supported the wishes of the mayor of the city of Chicago to work in a very small-scale way on privatizing public housing. This was not an initiative that Obama brought up. This comes from the Bush administration's HUD. And cities all across the country, not every city, because there's choice here, have been experimenting with, you know, small-scale privatization for some of public housing. I mean, that's a debate, which we could have on another time.
All right, let's take another call. Francia from Harlem. And, oh, thank you, Norman, by the way. And Francia from Harlem, hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. My question was regarding Obama speaking about the Harlem Children's Zone a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that he wanted to see something like that on a national scale. And I wanted to know if you thought that was even something possible in this day and age.
You know, it's such an exciting concept, because if you know the work of Jeff Canada in the Harlem Children's Zone, you would clearly you'd be inspired and you would want to try and replicate that, not just in a national scale, but all across New York City. I happen to have worked with Jeff and know the Harlem Children's Zone extremely well. I think it's a great model, and the advantage of that model is really that it integrates services for the urban poor at the neighborhood level, in which it's about education, it's about work, it's about for the children as well as the parents. It's about providing health care. It's about providing workforce training. It's a holistic approach, which many people have been talking about for a long time. I think that's the kind of thing that you get to probably in your third and fourth year, and that you would hopefully the administration will have some experimental design around that, as historically the Clinton administration did with the empowerment zones. I think that would be something to bring to scale nationally. I don't think they're going to do that right off the bat because it's too hard, and I don't believe in the sort of great man theory of anything, maybe because I'm a woman, but Jeff Canada is a great man, and a lot of the success of the Harlem Children's Zone is due to his leadership. So it's not, just really easy to replicate those kinds of things.
All right, thank you for your call, Francia. Let's take one more call in this segment. Eleanor from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I was thinking of Felix Royerton as an advisor in dealing with metropolitan areas, because he came to the rescue of New York City when we were in terrible shape in the 70s. And an additional thought was that he could take a look at how Paris and Copenhagen have developed as very livable cities with public transportation and that sort of thing.
All right, thank you for your call, Eleanor. What about that, Esther Fuchs? Felix Royerton.
Yeah, there's two parts to that question which I think are very interesting. Felix Royerton is already out there writing, as you know, and speaking, and his advice, I think, will be very important to the Obama administration, partly, because he was involved in the bailout of New York City in 1975, and his key role was in restructuring the debt, but in also providing leadership and changing the public's perceptions about what they needed to do to make things work. So I think there's a lot of lessons Obama can learn from Felix Royerton, and I would certainly hope that he would be reaching out to him. On the livable city idea, she's absolutely right. This, however, has really been a bottom-up approach in the United States. This has been a Bloomberg initiative, the livable cities, and you see it in Chicago, in L.A., Miami, all of the, even in Houston right now. And of course, this is where you link economic development to sustainability. And I believe that in the stimulus package, if Obama can articulate an initiative that targets those two areas, environmental sustainability and livability, which will include mass transit, public safety, and quality urban education. That's a Michael Bloomberg thing, linking urban education to livability. That would be the way I would articulate an urban agenda. I think the nation could really grasp that and get a handle on that. I don't see that coming out yet, but I am optimistic.
Are you hearing anything about President-elect Obama reaching into the Bloomberg administration for some of these positions?
The mayor actually had a piece out in Newsweek in which he was giving his advice mostly on the economy to the president-elect. There are actually a couple of members of the Bloomberg administration who have been approached, not offered a position yet as far as I know, but approached by the Obama administration as possible secretaries of particular departments or members of the administration.
Can I get you to name names?
One that's been out, there are two out there that everybody knows. One everybody knows, of course, is Joel Klein from the Department of Ed, but the other one is Sean Donovan from our housing, from our HPD, Housing Preservation and Development for HUD. I don't know what's going on, in the final analysis there, but those would be extraordinary choices.
And how about you?
Not me. You know me, Andrea. I'm just like a New York York girl at heart. I'm a Queens girl, right? Not going to Washington, D.C.
All right.
I'd love to help them, but wouldn't want to live there.
All right. And on that note, we'll be talking just a little bit about people who will or will not move out of the city. Thanks so much. Esther Fuchs from Columbia University, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about the Obama administration's urban policy.
Thanks, Andrea.